Comcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. It's my pleasure to introduce everybody to Kevin and Jen Miller. Kevin is a new executive pastor at Calvary Church. They've both been involved in the ministry of Calvary before, went away to Clarksville, Tennessee to plant a church. We're going to find out all about this. Kevin and Jen, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Now, Kevin is an executive pastor, so I have to be really careful not to be myself because he's the guy that hands out pink slips here at Calvary. I'm just teasing. Hey, thank you guys for being here. I really do appreciate it. Kevin, tell us about your ministry journey leading you back to Calvary.
Sure, yeah. Calvary holds a special place in our hearts. Jen and I really got to know each other here when we were 19 and 20. I was doing school of ministry here. And then Pastor Skip hired me when I was 20 years old to be the middle school youth pastor. So we did that for about 5 years.
Yeah.
We still look back on those 5 years as some of the best years of our lives. We loved it.
Definitely.
And then eventually God put it on our hearts to go plant a church. And so it was a couple years of prayer and research and figuring out where to go. God led us to Clarksville, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. And so we did that for a little over 11 years.
Right.
And then it was about this time last year, we were with Calvary in Israel on a trip. And that's when God started to change our hearts about what to pray for beyond this current season we were in. And it had never honestly really entered our minds that we would do anything besides lead our church. Awaken Church in Clarksville is our baby. We gave everything for that church, those people. We loved it. It was in such a good season.
Right.
And so leaving it just felt so foreign. But after probably about 6 months of prayer and fasting and hearing from mentors and trips to Albuquerque, God made it pretty clear two things. Our time at Awaken was coming to a close, and we were supposed to move back to Albuquerque. And so it wasn't until we committed to move back here that we found out what I would even be doing. I didn't have a job. When we committed to move out here, I didn't have a job. I didn't have an idea of what I would be doing.
Well, you had some ideas. You thought about working in a cafe.
I mean, we had
I
like
there
coffee.
Were a lot of ideas.
I've never been a barista professionally. I do it at home, but I was ready to do whatever needed.
Right.
And then God just opened the door to bring me on staff out here. So
yeah. And the church, Tennessee, still going?
Going strong.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Like,
so good.
In an amazing season. We preached our last service Christmas Eve, and then they reopened 2 weeks later in a brand new renovated venue. So, I mean, it's just my executive pastor out there who planted the church with me took over. And they launched in the newly renovated venue. It's just a brand new, amazing season for them.
And you had this young lady sitting next to you as part of your worship team.
Yeah.
And now she's going to join you helping us with worship at Calvary Church. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Yeah, definitely. I did. I got to lead worship for the first probably 6 years of Awaken before I had another baby, and we thought, three kids, me trying to lead worship and Kevin trying to lead and preach was a bit much. So I kind of took a back seat for a few years. And, I mean, that was a season in and of itself because all I had ever done was lead worship, from the age of 13 on. I mean, that's what I was doing here at Calvary. That's where I started. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was a whole season of, all right, God, is music ever going to come back around? Am I ever going to actually be leading worship again? And here and there I'd fill in when there was a need, but I just remember Kevin always telling me, hey, if this is what God has for you, then you're just going to have to trust that he's going to bring this back around at some time. And I mean, sure enough, he was faithful to do that. And so yeah, I have a new album coming out, my first ever
already
EP.
Came out.
It's out. Yeah, it just came out just a couple of weeks ago. It's called Letting Go, and it's just a 5-song EP, but it's a fulfilled dream, a dream that I had for 20 years, really, since being here at Calvary. You know, that's where I started leading worship, and God really used it to propel me forward. And I remember there was a season where I tried so hard to write songs, and it didn't work. It wasn't happening. And I remember just being with the Lord, kind of telling him, like, wouldn't you want me to just write some songs for you? And I feel like he whispered to my heart, I didn't ask you to write songs right now. I've just asked you to lead worship. So just lead some worship. And then when the season came where I quit leading worship, then I was like, what in the world am I doing? I'm not even leading worship now. But a couple of years ago, I went through a really tough season in life. Just some depression and anxiety. And ironically, in that season, these songs started just coming. And I remember a moment in that season where the Lord was like, right now, I'm not asking you to lead worship. I'm asking you to write. And so these songs on this EP, a lot of them just stemmed from that season where God just kind of poured out through me in a different way. So I'm excited to share them because I think a lot of people can relate to a lot of the songs that I've written, because a lot of people have been in the depths of depression and anxiety and those things that you never want to be in. And I think as a believer, I never thought I'd find myself in such a deep, dark season of depression. And then I was there. And in the midst of it, God was so gracious to begin writing songs through me, and really met me in that season. And so I'm excited for people to hear the songs, and I hope God uses those to just speak to people right where they are.
Well, we have a special event coming up at Westside Calvary.
Yes, we do.
Coors and Montaño, 7 o'clock this Friday is the release party for your record.
That's right. Yeah, Letting Go. It's free. We'd love to see everybody there. It will be the first night that I've ever performed these songs live. These have all been just, you know, what we've done in the studio and writing over the last couple of years, but I've never actually performed these songs for people. And so it'll be a super special night. Not only will we do those songs, but we'll have a little bit of worship, because that's just where my heart is. I love leading worship. And so I want that to be a part of the evening as well. And we've got a special guest coming. His name's Jason Roy. And he's the lead singer of a band called Building 429. They've been around for a good, 20 years?
Yep.
And God just brought Jason and his family to Awaken in Tennessee just a few years ago. And so we've got to get to know him and his family. And he's just an incredible musician. And he produced my whole EP. So he's coming in for the night. He's going to play a few of his own songs. And then he's going to do all the songs with me that evening. So I'm super excited about that.
What's the difference between singing and leading people in worship?
Yeah. Singing is more like performing a song, you know. And I think of worship as, there is an element of performance in there, because you want to use what God's given you to the best of your ability. But really, worship is more about looking past, I think, the person on stage and allowing the music and the words of those songs to drive you to Jesus. So I know for me, worship leaders that stand out in my mind are worship leaders who, when I'm in the midst of song worship, because there's many different ways to worship, but I'm talking about songs here, is when I'm not even worried about the person on stage. What they're doing is simply just helping me connect with the Lord in a deeper way. So look past the musician, and when you're looking at Jesus, then you know you've got a good worship leader.
I love that.
So I kind of think that's the difference.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I mean, it's kind of similar as a pastor. I feel like my job is not to, when I'm preaching, my job is not to get up there and get people to notice me. Mm-hmm. It's similar to a worship leader. I just lead worship in a different way. My job is to connect people with the Lord through the teaching of his word. So it's the same thing that you're talking about, because there's a lot of people who could sing songs.
Right.
Do Christian karaoke,
you know? Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not what we need. We need to be connected with the Lord, and that's done so powerfully through song.
Yeah.
Some pretty talented people
on the worship team at Calvary now.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll be fun for you.
The talent here is amazing. And, I mean, the worship leaders here, they do have that humility. In fact, we were talking about that with our kids this morning. And that's, I think, a big quality in being a worship leader is having the humility to use your giftings, but not wanting to draw attention to yourself. And I think Tamara and Drew here do such a phenomenal job of that.
I'm seeing a little Tiffany body language in you. So, of course, your sister's on staff.
She is.
At Calvary Church. And I just noticed just a little thing. And I said, that's Tiffany. Sister like sister.
It's true.
Pastor Kevin, I've got to ask you. You've taken your family now from Albuquerque to Tennessee. And you hear God leading you that direction. And now you've moved back to Albuquerque even before you were hired here.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, what did you learn going out and planting a church?
Yeah, wow. I think two of the biggest lessons that come to my mind is being in the will of God is the safest place to be. It comes with inherent risk, or it feels like risk, and it comes with lots of discomfort at times. But the only place I want to be is where God tells me I need to be, even if that's in the middle of a lot of difficulty and discomfort. And I think of, like, you know, the times where Jesus would tell the disciples to get in the boat and cross to the other side, and then a storm would come. But the safest place for them to be is to be right where Jesus told them to be, even if that's in the boat, in the waves, in the storm, because that's where God wants them. And so, you know, I would say the same for us. Mm-hmm. We want to be right where God wants us to be. I would say the other thing, one of 100 lessons that I've learned over the years, is that the church is Jesus's church. It's never been mine. And one thing I told our church in Clarksville many times is, the church has been doing really well for about 2,000 years before I rolled onto the scene. So I just got to play a part for a season. And in my opinion, it was shorter than I wish it would have been in Clarksville, because we just loved it. But we just knew God had a new thing, a new assignment for us. And that's kind of how we're looking at it here. So every local church is led by a pastor for a season, and it never belongs to the pastor. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus's church. He's going to build it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop him. And so through all of the challenge and the difficulty, it's exactly where I want to be, connected to the local church, doing what God's called me to do.
Jen, I see people that are not rhythmically challenged as I am.
That's a nice way to put it.
Driving down the road, and of course they have hand on the steering wheel and they're watching where they're going, but I see their other hand raised up and I can see them singing. They're worshiping in the car. Is that something that you do? Are you worshiping while you're working around the house, all that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, maybe it's a little embarrassing to admit that, but I'm definitely guilty of doing that.
There's not a time she's not singing.
But you know, she just described in her first comments about being in depression, and you were worshiping in the midst of that. How big a role did that play leading you out of that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I believe that was significant, and I worship for me in that season was not only through the songs, but I mean, it was staying connected to the Lord. And you know, I kind of thought for a while, I found myself like, what is wrong with me? Why am I in this season? Surely I can get out of this. I'm reading my Bible. I'm spending time with the Lord daily. I'm crying out to him. What in the world? Why am I still in this season, or these feelings, these thoughts? I mean, there were a few months where I would not get through the day without just panicking, massive tears, you know, just having to call Kevin at work, like, I cannot breathe. So I don't even know what's wrong with me. But I remember, I remember there was just a point where it came, where I, and probably Kevin helped me with this because he's just amazing, but where I just had to like sit in it for a minute. And instead of me like trying to get out of it, so, you know, please just deliver me from this. Let me get out of this. Why do I feel this way? Instead, I felt like the Lord was like, can you just sit here for a minute? I'm going to meet you in this. So stop trying to do everything you're doing to get out of this and just actually sit in it for a minute. And that was kind of a turning point for me. It took months longer for these issues to resolve, but I sat in it and it was uncomfortable and I had never felt or experienced that, but it was good to sit in it. And I feel like that time in my life, that season in my life, I mean, it was a couple of years, really a year of this deep darkness. All I can describe it as, it felt like there was this dark cloud that just hung over me at all times. And no matter what I did, it wouldn't move. But God met me in that season in such a unique way. And I don't want to go back to it. but I'm so grateful for the ways he met me in that season.
We are in studio with Pastor Kevin Miller and his wife, Jen. Jen has a new album coming out, a worship album. It's called Letting Go, and we're going to talk more about that. In fact, coming back out of the break, you'll hear a little sample from one of the songs. We'll be back with Kevin and Jen right after these messages. Stay with us.
Whether dining inside or eating on the patio of our favorite local restaurants, let's get out and support them, including Casa Taco, uniquely prepared craft tacos made fresh to order, Nacho Mama's Tacos, Grass Burger, using 100% grass-fed beef, darn healthy, eatgrassburger.com, Village Pizza, two locations, great homemade pizza, the best ingredients. Ordering delivery, takeout, or pickup are still available. They need us, and truth be told, we need them. Bon appetit.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884.
It's morning in Canton, Ohio. Joe McDermott is thirsty. He gets up from his easy chair and walks 20 feet to the kitchen. He turns on the faucet and fills up his glass. 8,000 miles away, Mahika walks barefoot for 3 miles to fill her clay jug with water. Problem is, this water is contaminated. The people of Mahika's village suffer from disease. Some die, but this is their only source of water. Joe, if you're listening, for just $30, Gospel Phrasia can provide a BIOS and water filter for Mahika and her family. This device makes water 98% pure. Or you can donate a Jesus well for her village, bringing clean water to 300 people. Joe, we hope you're listening, because people like Mahika are counting on you. Give the gift of life, the gift of water, and point the way to the living water through Gospel Phrasia. Thanks, Joe. Call 855-572-4628 or go to knkt.com and click the Gospel for Asia banner.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jen, tell us about that song.
Yeah, that song actually was the most recent one written. And you heard the chorus, I'm letting go of all I know because you never let go of me. And we were sitting in the studio and Jason asked me, okay, do you have a song you want to write? Do we just want to work on some you already have? And that morning, that line, that little, what you just heard, I sang it into my phone as a little voice memo. I just kept hearing that over and over. And then Kevin and I, he had kind of been feeling those words too. And so I sang that out to Jason and we wrote this song. It's really all about, we were letting go of everything we knew in Tennessee, and it was scary. And in all honesty, I mean, we were trying to hold on. I didn't want to go. I was digging my heels in, although definitely wanting to be obedient, but life was just good. And, but it ultimately came down to, we can let go because we know that God's not going to let go of us. So he's going with us wherever we go. He's going to take us there. And because of that, we can go hands opened. And that's kind of, I feel like, the story of our life. Like, yeah, little, you know, every now and then God's like, hey, don't hold on too tightly. I might have something else up my sleeve. So that's what that song's
I'm
about.
Hearing that comfort, Kevin, has nothing to do with God's leading in one's life.
Very true. If life was about comfort, I don't even know where we would be, because we would have never even moved to Tennessee. That was uncomfortable,
right,
challenging.
Right.
We had a lot of questions. I guess I'd maybe still be the youth pastor, but I'd be Jonah, because God would have told me to go and I wasn't ready, you know? So yeah, it's definitely not about comfort.
You wouldn't have gone in the ocean then.
No, there's no coast here, so.
We have plenty of beach, just no water.
Yep.
Lots of dirt.
Kevin, have you hit the ground running here in 2021 after the COVID season?
Well, it's a unique season for me. When I started full-time in ministry out here at Calvary when I was 20, I've preached almost every weekend of my life since then. There's been a few weeks here and there that I've taken off, and I feel like we do a pretty good job at having a lot of good family time and resting, but I've never taken an extended time off. And so as we prayed last year about what this new season might look like that we felt like God might be leading us into, a big thing that I felt like I needed to do was take a few months of a breather before I dove back in. And so we did Christmas Eve at Awaken, and then 2 days later packed up our moving truck and headed out to New Mexico. And I told the staff here that I wasn't able to start till April. And so that was a purposeful, intentional 3 months of a breather where we just wanted to have some real intentional family time, take a breather. We're homeschooling our kids. We're figuring out life. We're looking for a house. So I haven't started on staff just yet, but I'm about 2 weeks out. I actually start the week of Easter. So,
well, and that, you know, the Bible says the harvest is plenty.
Yep. Mm.
So you're going to be another part of the team, but it seems like there's just never enough people to take care of all the need.
It's true.
But I get the feeling you're an equipper. You're a person that's going to, you know, disciple men, bring other people around, inspire your wife and her leadership. And it's just, that's the ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to it.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Jen, I want to ask you about how multimedia and social media, and you two are really young. So while we're interviewing,
I'm glad you say that.
But
I don't know,
but it's really true. You guys aren't even half as old as I am, but I won't talk about that anymore. You guys are texting your kids and they're telling you, hey, we're listening to mom and dad on the radio, and you can talk on the radio and do that at the same time. So I want to ask you, how is this multimedia and social media affected leading worship?
I mean, gosh, this has been a challenging thing, honestly, for me, because we were talking about the difference between performing and worship leading. And it's so hard to know the balance between putting yourself out there, acknowledging God's given you a gift, a musician, you know, it's for the musician. Okay, God's given you a gift. You want to use it for his glory. So how do you use that, get your music out there in a way that honors the Lord, but is still laced with humility? And I mean, that road is really, it's really hard to find where that meets in the middle of promoting yourself and wanting all the credit, I guess. And no, God's given me these songs. God's given me this talent. And if I just keep that all to myself, what good is that?
Yeah.
I think of like people who write books. If they never wrote the book, who would ever benefit from the book?
Right.
Nobody. So social media is tricky because you kind of feel like, oh, you don't want your social media to be all about promoting yourself. Like, you know, that just feels weird. But at the same time, if you don't promote yourself and you don't promote some songs, how's anyone ever going to hear about it? Because right. Social media is a big way that people know about things like that. So, I mean, I think it's about being prayerful and about being humble in the midst of that. And I'm just thankful to have a very tech savvy husband who's really good with social media, because I'm not super great at it, and he's so much better, so he kind of helps me balance that out.
I love that.
I've kind of assumed the role of Jen's manager. So I'm her husband.
Unpaid.
Yeah, I'm her volunteer manager. So yeah, I helped her. I got a team that built her website, and we've started doing social media and all of that. But I would agree with it. You could take it too far right. and turn it into a self-promotion thing. But the reason we do this is because we believe so much in the music and the impact it can have. And if we never tell anybody about it, how can it have the impact? And so that's kind of the thought behind it. It can easily go too far.
Right.
So you just gotta
be careful. But I may be one of the people that's more impacted by your music because I have not even a tad of musical ability. So I so much appreciate really good music. And I want to remind our listeners that this Friday, you're going to have an album release celebration at Calvary Westside.
Yes.
Coors and Montaño.
Yep.
7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. Free event.
Yes.
Yep. Are you going to sign some?
I've never signed autographs.
You bet. You bet she is.
Okay.
We will have, all because of Kevin, we will have some merch available.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which is super fun.
Yeah, we've got shirts, we've got journals, we've got stickers. Jason Roy, our friend, will be there singing with Jen. So that'll be really great. And it's going to be a really fun night.
Kevin, you took a little time off from January to now, about to start as the new executive pastor or one of the new pastors. We have 180 plus people on staff at Calvary Church. I mean, that's a big, big church.
Big team. Yeah.
And that's not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we could use another 200 people because of the need in the community. But I'm blessed because a lot of the churches, Matt Moffitt, the community liaison, has brought together a lot of churches, and churches are really starting to do things together in the community, which is really a blessing. And that's what ABQ Connect, that's what this radio show is about.
Yeah.
We want people to know about the resources that are available at every church and so forth. Can you tell us, can you give us a word to husbands, though? You've taken the last 3 or 4 months just being a husband, just being a dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us a word. Mm-hmm. Encourage our husbands and our fathers out there.
Sure, As you ask that, the word that comes to my mind is intentionality. And that can go a lot of different ways, but being intentional with your time, what you say yes to, but also being intentional with your time, what you say no to. Mm-hmm. One valuable lesson I've learned over years of ministry is every yes I say is a no to something else. Mm-hmm. And so for me to have time for my wife and my kids, that means me being willing and able to say no to a handful of things that some I don't necessarily want to do, some I feel like I should do, and some I want to do, but I know that I have a different priority in those moments. And so intentionality is a big one for me, and I've tried especially over these last 3 months where I've kind of just taken a breather before going back into ministry. I've tried to be real intentional with my time and say yes to as many things as possible. And we've done a lot of trips to the skate park and date nights and lots of that kind of thing. And our kids and our wives just need our attention. And it's so important that we're not just there physically, but we're there mentally and emotionally and relationally and spiritually as well.
Yeah. Jen, how about you? Can you encourage wives and mothers?
Yeah, when I talk to other wives and moms, I often find that they're talking about they don't have time to spend with the Lord. They're not in the Bible because life is just crazy. And I can understand that. A big thing on my heart is to help wives and moms and just ladies in general understand that first priority, you've got to spend time with the Lord. If you want to benefit your husband, if you want to benefit your kids, they need the best version of you, which is you and Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I know that to be true, and I'm not perfect at it, but I know that I need the Lord first and foremost before I'll ever be able to be Kevin's, you know, a great wife or a great mom.
Kevin, we got a minute left.
Yep.
In that time, I want you to shout out to those young ones of yours at home.
Sure. Yeah. Emery, Adeline, and Haddon, I know you're listening on our Echo right now. What's up?
I love it. Hey, will you pray for us close your segment?
Yeah. Please. God, thank you so much for these moments that are borrowed as Jen sings on her album, Lord. We're just so grateful that you have allowed us to be a part of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We are undeserving. And because of that, we're so grateful that you've called us by name. You have a purpose for our lives. And we just pray that we would not settle for a life that is filled with ease and mm-hmm. comfort, but we would step into the unknown as we follow you. And God, we're so grateful that you never do let go of us. Yeah. Your hand is always on us, and we can always trust that. So help us to be the best fathers, the best wives, the best moms and dads, the best followers of Jesus that we can possibly be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you both so much for joining us. And we didn't get through all of our questions, which is my excuse for having you back on the show.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.